You have your Bibles, and if we could get it up here also, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 tonight. I'm not going to spend much time because I want to get my hands laid on you tonight. Let me pray. I just literally came back from West Virginia. Just took the, I rented a car and just took it back down to Kokomo and literally just drove into the parking lot and came here. So been asking the Lord all day. The Lord gave me something to share early this morning upon rising. But I just want to kind of give you a background of where I'm coming from. I've been all over the world. I've spoke to big crowds and small crowds and little people and big people and fat people and short people and old people and young people. But I've never experienced what I experienced last night. Now, because I'm telling you this, that I'm just not, I've experienced some things, spoke in foreign countries where I had to speak through two interpreters just to get the message to the people. And I've never seen what I saw last night. It was a powerful, powerful presence of God in a town that's half the size of Rochester. 3,000 people is the population of the town. And there were 1,200 people out on a Tuesday night in this auditorium. But what struck me more than anything else, and what I want to talk to you all tonight about, because I'm convinced that God wants to do something. There were people from California there, and there were 37 nations, by the way, that were listening in and watching through the live stream. 37 nations watching this move. And it's only been going on for about 3 weeks. And what struck me more than anything else was all ages were there. From the front of the, from where the chairs were sitting to the front of the platform, Mick, it was probably, what, about 50 feet or so? Full of, there were over 200 teenagers in the center before the front row and the platform, worshiping the Lord. 12, 13-year-olds caught up in the power of God. And then old people started to come up, and middle-aged people started to come up and just packed the front. And the move of God, there's probably, I don't know how many got saved. There was quite a few got saved that night. But it started there in a small church of God, and everything's smaller. It's not a real populated area. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's in the mountains of West Virginia, for Pete's sakes. The street we went down to get to the building where we went, I thought we were in the wrong place. We were going along railroad tracks. I said, there can't be a building that size down here. Literally in the middle of nowhere. The building probably seats, I don't know, about 4,000, 5,000. And there were 1,200 people there. And so it was amazing what God was doing there. And anyway, so they started having a meeting several weeks ago. It was a 3-day revival meeting like we've had here. Just had a guest speaker in. From Church of God, and Matthew Hartlett, Matt Hartley, young man about 29, 30 years old, and he was supposed to speak for 3 days. He spoke on a Sunday. Monday, they asked him to go to the high school to speak to the Bible club that had about 30 kids or less show up, usually. 450 kids came to that meeting. And 150 gave their life to the Lord right there. And then the rest of them, there were over 400 got saved over the next few days. And it packed out the church so much, they had to find another venue to meet. They just couldn't, but they put all the chairs they could get out, and people standing around, and it just packed the building. So they had to get down to this other one. And they're moving from that building to another building up in Logan, which is just north of Williamson a little bit. to a bigger facility because they're expecting more crowds, because Logan has just caught fire. The Logan High School, which is about 20 miles from there, a bunch of kids have gotten saved there and want to know how they can get a hold of the move of God that's happening down in Williamson, because they can't travel that far, just like you guys. But what I was struck at more than anything else was the age groups didn't matter. See, and we come in this building, and I see you guys coming in this building, and I go have fun, and I say hello. I'm talking to the young people now. And then you go over to that side of the building, and we're over on this side of the building, and I get that. It's gonna continue that way, because you all do stuff that we don't do. And we do stuff that you don't do. But what we need to do is do it together when we worship the Lord together. God wants to do something in you young people. I want you to know something. How many remember that Jesus had 12 apostles? You young people, do you know that? He had 12 apostles? Raise your hand if you know that. You know he had 12 guys that followed him around? You know that they were all teenagers? You ever seen pictures where they're old guys with long beards and long gray hair? That's not true. They were young people. They were all, mostly all teenagers. About 17, 18, 20, 21. Peter was probably the oldest of the bunch. Now the impact of that, I want you to pay attention now. Are you paying attention? The impact of that was that Jesus entrusted his whole plan on a bunch of kids. His whole plan. 1,983 years ago, on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 people that gathered in a room. And they had been there praying for a few days. Acts chapter 2. You got it up there? Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Everybody say all. Young people say all. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Are we sitting or standing tonight? I'm standing, the only one standing, everybody else sitting. Suddenly the Holy Spirit came and filled the house that they were in. Verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I want you to know what a miracle this was. Because verse 5 says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Not just Jewish people. Every nation under heaven. Not just those in Jerusalem, but everybody. In verse 6, watch. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. Your language. And the Lord just gave me so much about this, because you guys say things that I don't understand. You young people, you got your own language. Yeah, like LOL and ROFL and rolling on the floor laughing. You don't know that? That's already outdated probably, isn't it? Probably. So you say things that I don't understand. You do things I don't understand. You put holes in your bodies that I would never put holes there. Come on, somebody. And you have your own language. And guess what? We have our own language. Us older folks. How many is an older folk? We have our own language. We have things that we talk about that you don't understand. Watch what it says. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. That's unity. We need you, young people. We're admitting tonight, all these old folks sitting in the middle here, we need you. We need your energy. Need your passion. So Jesus wants to touch you tonight. And it's going to awaken something in you. I was called up on the platform and hands were laid on me. And the word of the Lord was, go impart what you have to those that you meet with. So I'm going to do that tonight. But the most important guest here tonight, the most important part of our family tonight are you folks. You young people. Something's going to happen to you tonight. It's the suddenly that's talked about in Acts. You didn't plan on it. You plan on coming and going over to that other room and doing what you're doing. It's a good thing. I'm not saying that Brad's not doing a good thing. How many like what Brad does over at the other room? What's this? What's this mean? Is that a new thing too? God wants to impart something to you tonight because here's the deal. Jesus is coming back really soon. Are you hearing me? Jesus is coming back really soon. And he's going to establish some things, his kingdom. It's all, this life as we know it is going to be over, but a better life is on its way. Now, we've been waiting, us old folks have been waiting a long, long time. And you say, well, you may say, well, this is not fair. Why would Jesus come back now? Why didn't he wait till I'm old? Then what? I like you. What's your name? What's your name?
Trevor.
Trevor. Stretch your hands out to Trevor. Trevor, do you know Jesus as your Lord?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
You ask him and come into your heart.
Yeah.
You died right now, you go to heaven.
I don't know, maybe.
You ask Jesus to come into your heart, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's there. You know he wants to use you, Trevor. You're not just somebody coming here, you're somebody that God wants to use in a powerful way.
Amen.
Do you know why? That's a good answer. But more importantly, because the hand of God's on you. And you know it is. Father, I thank you for Trevor tonight. Lord, I lay hands on him. Right here, look at me. Don't look at your friends. I lay hands on him, Father, in Jesus' name, and I pray that you impart your power to him.
Yes.
Let him know that you love him, God. You're living in him indeed. Lord, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit upon him in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, that he would know your touch.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that he would know your touch tonight, Father. God, that you love him, that you've called him, God. You've called him by name. Before he was born, you had a plan for him.
Yes, you did.
Trevor, you've been asking questions like, why am I born into the family I'm born into? Why am I like the way I am? God said he's born you for a purpose and a plan. And that your whole family is going to be serving him, Trevor. And it's because of your seriousness with him. God knows you laugh and things to cover what's really going on in your heart because you're a passionate person, Trevor. God loves you. And he picked you, chose you for this moment in time.
Yes.
Father, I thank you. I ask you to minister to Trevor just now. Touch him, God. Like never before. Let him know how real you really are.
Yes.
Living in him. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Speak in his own language. Everyone heard the Lord in their own language. And the Lord wants to speak to each of us tonight. But what you hear is going to be different from what I hear. What you young folks hear is going to be different from what we hear. Because to tell you the truth, we don't have a lot of energy. But we have the passion and we have the wisdom. We can help you. Somebody prayed you here. That's why you're here tonight. So I want to talk about three things and I want to pray because God first has given us a mantle. You guys come sit right here. Come sit right here just so I can keep my hairy eyeball on you. It's easy to get distracted, so I want you to pay attention because this is important. There's a mantle that God wants to give us. Now, I want to explain what a mantle is. A mantle is a sign. A mantle was worn like a scarf around someone in biblical days. A mantle was worn, and that mantle was a sign of authority. And it depended on what color the mantle was as to what authority the person had that was wearing it. And the mantle that God has given us is Jesus Christ. And he has all authority. And that mantle is soaked with the blood of Christ. That makes us clean. How many know the blood of Christ makes us clean? So we have a mantle that God gave us. Those people that were meeting in the upper room on that day had a mantle. Those 120 were picked, hand-picked by God. Actually, if you want to know the truth, he picked 500 people, but only 120 showed up. There could be a lot more people here tonight. There were a lot of people invited, but we're who showed up. And so this is a commissioning service tonight for you guys. So it's who we are. It's who's here is here. Now, it doesn't matter. It'll never happen again. I mean, it doesn't mean that it'll never happen again because it'll happen again. God wants to shake this generation up and this area up. I believe it with all my heart. And so we have a mantle. That mantle is on you just as like it's on us. You say, well, we don't have enough experience. We don't have enough age. We're not old enough. We don't know. And that's the lie that the enemy has said, that this religious stuff, this church stuff, is you're just come and you play games and listen to Brad and he teaches good and you guys talk. But this old stuff, when we get old, we'll go sit with the old people. That's a lie. That's a lie. The truth of God is ageless. And so you have just as much responsibility as we do. More so, because you've got to talk to people that are your age to get them passionate, get them saved, and get them serving Jesus. And that's not a small task. I don't envy you at all. You've got to tell what Jesus is telling you. You've got to tell to other folks. So you have a mantle. You have a mantle. When you go to school, you have a responsibility to show Jesus Christ. And you can talk to people that I'll never be able to talk to because I don't speak their language. I don't understand what in the world they're talking about. I can't even understand you guys when you type to me. Or text to me, I guess the word is. Because everything is like in short little, you miss all the vowels. It's all consonants and stuff. Pardon me? You don't need vowels. You just use consonants. I have no understanding of that. But guess what? Other people your age have understanding of that and they need to know about Jesus Christ. Who's going to do it? Me? I'd love to talk to young people, but their attention span is not really long, is it? Got a mantle, a responsibility. Second thing that we have is a mandate from God. Who is responsible for this generation? It's us. It's us together. What we lack in energy, we have in experience. What you lack in experience, you have in energy. We need your energy and creativity. You guys have, I don't know how you do what you do. And how, I try to remember when I had that much energy and creativity. It's hard for me because I'm getting old. But you guys have the energy and the creativity. And we folks who have watched you come and pray for you all the time, you need to know that we're praying for you all the time, young people. We love your energy and creativity, but guess what? We have the wisdom and experience, and we need to work together on this thing. We need to spend more time together. You need to take the first few moments when you come in and go talk to somebody that's three times as old as you are. You older people need to stop these young people and talk to them and ask them where they're at and how you can pray for them and have them pray for you. Come on, somebody. Us old Pentecostal types. We need the young people. This is the future right here. This is the now. It's not even the future. It's the now. One of the things I was struck with last night was the passion that young people had for the Lord. They had passion. Why? Because they were allowed to have passion. They were allowed to have passion. And they looked weird. They wore clothes that were weird. I don't see where you guys get, all the jeans with the holes in and stuff. I throw that stuff. I don't understand. They look just like you guys do. They're on fire for the Lord, just like I believe you are and want to see tonight. So there's a mandate. Because of our presence, we must give this generation what we have. God left us here for a purpose. And then thirdly, we have a mission. We have a mission to tell others about Jesus Christ and to lay hands on them, see them change. Things will be different in your school if you'll let them be different. Instead of conversing like everybody else, instead of them making you be like them, why don't you pray that they be like you? Amen? God's got a call on your life. So here's what I want to do tonight. I want those who want an impartation to come up. And if somebody could lead worship or play a CD, I want you to come up. And what I'm going to do is pray. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not trying to figure this thing out. I just had a burden to share these three things with you. I'm done. But I do want to pray with you, and then we'll see what the Lord will do. I want to pray for you. So I'm going to ask that Brad, why don't you come up and bring your team up. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray. Mick and I are going to lay hands on you because Mick was here with me and had an impartation done. We're going to lay hands. Now, what is the purpose for laying on of hands for an impartation? It's not magic. I wasn't given electricity, and I'm going to pass that on to you. What I was given is a promise from God. When I lay hands, it's going to impart to you. What does it mean to have an impartation? It means that you're going to go another level in God. Maybe deeper than you ever have with God. And you're going to pray, and you're going to be a witness for Him, and you're going to take this responsibility we're talking tonight because God wants to move. Everybody that came to that meeting that I talked to had brought somebody else. I talked to 12-year-olds, I talked to 25-year-olds, I talked to 60-year-olds, and everyone I talked to said they brought somebody else to the meeting. And there were 1,200 people there. How many know? Everybody knows somebody you can talk to about Jesus. Leave the rest to Him. Jesus Christ is Lord. All you got to do is mention His name and He'll show up. Because He loves you. So what I want you to do is come up, line up here. Let me get my hands on you. Mick and I pray for you. And then we're going to do something after that, okay? So come on up.